Tom, what are you doing down there on the floor? It's time to start the program.
Bob, I just can't get myself to do anything. I mean, I'm really just, I'm depressed.
What is this? Is this a pre-holiday depression of some kind or something?
Yeah, well, I don't like turkey, and I haven't gotten any presents from anybody. I forgot to go out and buy presents, and
Tom,
I just can't take it.
Tom, this is the 4th of July. Are you thinking about Christmas? Christmas is the one where you give the presents. The 4th of July is the holiday where we celebrate the founding of the country and we have fireworks and picnics and you know.
Yeah, are you right, Bob? There aren't any presents, are there?
No.
And turkey? No turkey?
No.
This is the one where we eat hot dogs.
Right.
Oh, that really makes me feel a lot better, Bob. Thank you.
Anything we can do to help, Tom. Now may I hear my music, please?
Yeah. Hang on. Here it is.
Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff. Half an hour of comedy presented Friday nights here on KCRW at 7:30. And tonight we're going to do our 4th of July spectacular. We're going to listen to assorted bits of comedy, all having to do some more than other with the 4th of July and the founding of our country. We'll be listening to pieces from Stan Freberg's United States of America and a couple pieces by Albert Brooks and a piece by Bob Newhart. I should mention, by the way, that most of the comedy I'll be playing tonight will be part of the 4th of July spectacular I'll be hosting here on the 4th of July between noon and 3:30. And although we'll only be playing parts of Freeburg's United States of America now, you'll be able to hear the whole thing in its entirety starting at approximately 1:30 on the 4th of July. So let's kick things off with a piece by Albert Brooks that let's start off the show the way a lot of wonderful things start out, with
The national anthem. What happened? Oh, someone got up. No, you don't have to stand. the national anthem of this country, the Star Spangled Banner, is going to have to be rewritten very soon. Nobody sings it on the way to work anymore. Remember the good old days? You'd pass a guy going to work. Oh, say, can you see? Hello, Dr. Brown. They don't do that. What's the fair way to rewrite this kind of a song? By the way, you people here, you really can't see during this bit, can you? Because the piano. Those are the goon seats. You'll find a picture and a resume under the seat. Read along. Let me update it. Put down riding and swimming, okay? What's the fair way to rewrite a song like that, a national song? You hire the country's most popular songwriter, what, Burt Bacharach, let him do it? That's not fair. No, why? Let one hire a professional? You wouldn't want that song anyway. Hey, no place, it's got trees, it's got mountains. I think the fair way to rewrite the song is to hold open auditions. Put a piano, put a good piano, let everyone sound good, in a building in Washington, get a panel of judges, and hold auditions for the new national anthem. So let's go to Washington to those auditions now. Not literally, of course. I meant comedically. Listen, last night I said that, and 30 people went out in the alley and waited for, like, a bus to take them. And, of course, there was no bus there, and I felt like a fool. All right, please be quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of you. We got to get through it. Please be quiet. Very quickly, sit down at the piano, state your name, where you're from, play your song, all right? Don't give us any titles. Please be quiet. Don't give us any titles. We'll call them all the anthem. If we like it, we'll get your title from you later, okay? State your name, where you're from, play your song. We'll stop you when we've heard enough. Let's go quickly. You're first.
First? Ted Rutherford? Dallas, Texas. Thank you. Denver, Colorado. Miles from coast to coast. Every citizen has reason to boast. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Leroy Williams. I'm from any ghetto you choose. You jail all your black.
Thank you.
Hal, Hal, Hal Carter. I lived the last 75 years in Michigan. I was born there. I'm 75 years old.
While we stand here waiting for the ball game to start, let's give thanks for our home and our two-car garage. Let's give thanks for TV. Thank you. Let's give thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
Kid, stand over there, kids. All right, all
right. Hi, I'm Lee, and the kids here to my left are the Anthemites. And we're from Sarasota, Florida. Ready?
Ooh, I like the USA, ooh, ooh. I like the USA, ooh. It's better than Russia or China, ooh. It's better than Yugoslav.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can the lights be changed at all? All right, it's not important. Before I sing my song, I should tell you a bit about myself. My name is Mr. Robert Bob Harmon, and I currently live and work in the very exciting city of Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm an entertainer. And you know, Vegas is a great place, an exciting place, but originally I'm from a much quieter place, a place up north out west, a place I call Portland. What a great place it is. In one 30-square-mile radius, there's more to do than almost anywhere in the world. There's hunting and fishing and boating and camping. Get on with it! I am. It's how I get into it in the actor. It's got beautiful waterfalls and gorgeous trees, but you know, it's part of a bigger place. It's part of a country. Can you guess which country it is? No, it's not Denmark or Poland or Sweden or Rome. Get on with it! It's a lovely place I call home, I'm proud to say. I've got a country. Got a country. I spell it A-M-E-R-I-C-A.
Get off the stage!
Thank you. Thank you.
What I'm getting at is more and more jobs in the Army are being eliminated by the machine. There is one job that they will never eliminate in the Army through the machine, and that is the job of the foot soldier. And as long as they can't replace him, they're never going to be able to replace the griper. We've always had gripers. We had the griper in the Korean War, had him in World War II, in World War I, in the Civil War, and it stands to reason that we must have had gripers in the Revolutionary Army. And I thought it might be kind of interesting to imagine what a griper in the Revolutionary Army might have been like. And I think he might have been like this. You hear what Nutty George pulled last night? The dollar across Potomac, you didn't hear about that? You know, he had us out till 3 a.m. looking for the damn plane. Then we finally get back to the barracks about 3 a.m. You know what time I finally got to sleep? 5. Yeah. There's some nut flashing a light on and off in the church tower all night. Oh, and then the minute he quits, this drunk goes riding through town, screaming. Oh, then, remember we were marching the other day? And I had those shoes on that are 2 sizes too small for me. I've been trying to turn in the quartermaster for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, I kept kind of favoring this right leg all the time, you know? And, who was it? Harry had the flag and Al was blowing flute or something like that, I don't know. Finally, you know, I get back to the barracks. I'm soaking my feet. Sergeant walks in. He says, Washington caught it. He likes the idea of the limp and I should leave it in. We got some real winners on our side. What do you think of Benny? Yeah, George's friend, Benny. Yeah, Franklin, the one with the square glasses, you know? There's a real flip, boy. You've heard what he does for kicks, haven't you? Next time we have a thunderstorm, watch him. Oh, then the crowning touch. Remember, we're going across the Delaware in the boat. Ice on either side, right? Dead of the night. Who do you suppose gets up and walks to the front of the boat and stands in the front of the boat? Nutty George, sure. And then the guy in the other boat painting him. How about him?
December 1776, on the banks of the Delaware. Cruel winds whistle through the threadbare clothing of the 8,000-man American army. All too aware of General Howe's powerful troops across the icy waters, they await the decision of their leader, General George Washington. For he and he alone can make the choice upon which hinges the destiny of their infant nation.
All right, then. How much you want for the boat that says Popeye on it?
$1.20 an hour.
Uh-huh. Well, how about the one that says Donald Duck on it?
Eh?
The one with the little striped awning there?
Oh, yeah. Well, that boat right there?
That boat right there? Well,
that boat right
That's
there?
That's the boat.
Will run you $2 an hour.
What? That's an outrage. This is December. It's your off-season.
Huh.
How many customers can you get this time
Look,
of year?
Look, fella, you run the army and let me run the boat rental, okay?
All right. Don't get smart with me. I'm General Washington.
I know who you are. I seen your picture on the money. And I wish you'd make up your mind. The boat rides are closing.
Well, let's review them once again here. Popeye was $1.20 an hour.
That's right, $1.20 an hour, that's right.
And the one with the striped awning.
General Duck.
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The men are freezing.
So?
So we were wondering if we could come to some decision on the boat.
Yeah, they think they got problems. I just had my wig set this morning, and this damp air isn't doing it any good. Look at it, straight as a stick.
Well, it looks just fine to me, sir.
Really?
Huh? Yes, yes.
Think it looks all right?
Listen, you're going to rent a boat tonight or not? I'd like to freeze my ears off.
All right, don't rush me.
If we could make a decision on the boat, sir, it'll soon be daylight.
Let it be daylight. We're liable to tip over out there at night.
Yes, well, there was the element of surprise in the whole thing, don't you see, sir?
Oh. Well, all right. You could get the men loaded in the other boats. Get that out of the way.
They are in the other boats, sir. They have been for hours. Now, if we could just come
all
to
right.
some...
All right. Hold your horses.
We ate the horses yesterday, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be with you
Did
shortly.
You really eat the horses yesterday?
I didn't. They did. Enlisted men. Now I got it narrowed down to two here. Popeye has the dear little seats in it.
Yes.
That's $1.20.
Uh-huh.
See? And Donald Duck has the stripe and awning.
I see.
$2. Now, I'll leave it up to you, Lieutenant. Doesn't that strike you as a little high?
Well, I don't know, sir. Perhaps a bit, but...
All right, you see there? Huh. Now, what would you say to $1.75 for Donald Duck?
$2 an hour, not a penny less.
Say, what are you trying to do, gouge a serviceman?
Well, I might ask, what are you army guys trying to do? Stifle the small businessman?
Why, that's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
All right, then, kick the end of Donald Duck around there again. Let me see
it. I can't. My feet are frozen. Oh. Look, mister, why don't you take the one called Popeye? You'll be happy with that boat. The price is right. $1.20 an hour.
Well, I don't know. You like it, Lieutenant?
She's a beaut, sir. Besides, we're only renting it for the one night.
But you really like it better than the one with the awning.
You wouldn't want the one with the awning, sir. Once you got into it, you'd hate it. Honestly, take the other one.
Popeye, you think it's really me?
Yes, on my word, sir, it's you.
But I just don't know about the color.
The color is fine. Black is a great color. It sets off your wig.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Popeye it is.
I tell you, boy, I've seen some customers, but this guy's a Lulu.
Now, we got everything, the flag?
Right, sir.
The ukulele?
Yes, sir.
The sandwiches?
The boatman has some right here, sir.
Oh. What kind you got there?
I got ham and Swiss, liverwurst, or tuna salad.
Well, let me see, is he... tuna salad, good today?
It's you! It's you!
All right, how much?
At 25 cents.
What? 25 cents for a tuna salad sandwich?
Here, take it with my blessings.
Well,
hey, take a liverwurst, too. Enjoy, enjoy.
And so the Delaware was crossed. Thus was begun one of the most glorious pages in American history.
Imagine that guy. Wanted 25 cents. Lousy tuna. Whoops, watch where you're rowing. And like this little boat I picked up for you here? Called Popeye.
The trouble continued to brew. It was a time for action and a time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
In there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
What does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't you?
Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals, don't kid me.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment or Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness,
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
Oh, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me. That artist I sent by, did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it. And he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The Un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to raise.
Banner to raise.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave
new land,
who wants
to live,
so conservative, innovative,
I don't dis,
he don't disagree,
agree,
but a man can't be too careful what he signs these days.
Well, if I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Yeah, here you are.
All right. Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another 3 or 4 guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
A phone call to Americans. Hello? Are some Americans there? Oh, all right. Never mind. I'll write them a letter. A letter to Americans. Dear Americans, well, I was calling to invite you to a party. It seems that a certain country we both live in is celebrating her 200th birthday. But before you RSVP, maybe you ought to know a little more about the birthday girl. America was born on July 4th, 1776. The doctors thought she wouldn't live past her second birthday. Of course, they didn't have the medical technology we have today. Why, do you know today doctors can keep a man's kidneys alive even without his permission? And what about America's kidneys? The mighty Colorado, the majestic Mississippi, the blue Pacific. You know, the Pacific wasn't always blue. America was once a happy place, a place where there was no unhappiness. But then in 1802, something strange happened to change all that. I don't remember what it was, but I do know that when I read about it, it made me sick. And I had to stay in bed for a few days and drink plenty of liquids. Oh, I feel better now, although I still throw up for no apparent reason. And at night, my feet seem to swell. And when they do, I feel bad until I think of the man who has no shoes. So where has it all led? To hamburgers, French fries, and a malted to go my country. Why can't we eat it here? There used to be a time when Mother's Day was a whole week in July. What happened, gals? There used to be a thing called the Liberty Bell. Oh, all right, maybe it's still there. But what about Texas and Brooklyn and Iwo Jima? Are they still there, too? Americans can put a man on the moon, yet we still forget our trash day. And there once was a man called Ruth. Funny name for a man, Ruth. Today we have golden arches, but our feet still hurt. We play the Star-Spangled Banner at ball games, but still one team always loses. We check into hotels, but hotels won't take our checks. Well, they won't take mine! Angry? You bet I'm angry, mister! For you see, I used to be one hell of a woman! Thanks for listening.
Well, I'd say that was an appropriately bizarre note to end on. That was Albert Brooks with his phone call to Americans from his album A Star Is Bought. And before that, we played a little loose with history. Those of you who either know your history or know your Stan Freberg will know that we played those out of order, the Declaration of Independence and Washington Crossing the Delaware. As I said, the complete United States of America will be on Monday, July 4th at about 1:30. Let's see, before that, Bob Newhart with his Private in Washington's Army. That's from the Button-Down Mind Strikes Back. And we began things with Albert Brooks from his Comedy Minus One album, his routine about rewriting the national anthem. Some upcoming programs: on the 8th, Henny Youngman; on the 15th, The Credibility Gap; on the 22nd, P.D.Q. Bach; and on the 29th, Nichols and May. And, that about does it for tonight. Any letters or anything, come to KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and hoping that you will keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.